And say, it has been a good day. Remember that, and you always be all right. For sure, for sure. All right. Anyway, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And I'm happy to see all of y'all today. We got a topic today. You know, I think it's pretty serious, you know. And we're going to be talking a little bit about alcoholism and a little bit about depression. Now, this may be one of them topics to where we may have to go do a day two of, but we have to wait and see how that turns out. We'll see about that. But both of these, you know, some doctors feel like they go hand in hand. You know, but we like I said, we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail here in a little while. But, you know, other than that, we're going to rock and roll today, man. I'm telling you. Now, you know, I got to give them a little info first. Now, with being that we're talking about such a serious topic, I encourage any of you to call in if you have stories relating to either one of these topics I'm going to use today. And let us know your story, how you survived it or what have you. You don't have to give a name or what have you. Just tell us, you know, tell what your story is, or you can make up your club, use your club name or whatever you want to do, you know, because we like to hear it. And the more involved you, the caller, becomes, you don't know who you may be helping out there, who may be listening. So I seriously encourage you to call in. Okay, and the number is 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And don't forget the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right, so those are all the ways you can be a participant on the show. Looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you, and we're going to get it on. Now, also, before I go any further, let's go on and knock out the rules. The rules are simple. You know, no talking over each other, no personal attacks. Just because you may think it is a personal attack don't necessarily mean I'm going to think it's a personal attack. Do not attack anyone in my chat room, okay? That's not going to be allowed also. Just telling you. Now, I'm just putting it out there ahead of time. So once you get kicked, you understand why. Because there's no use of any of derogatory terms. you know, in the chat room or on the air live also. All right, so I think I have covered pretty much the rules. Oh, yeah, and don't, if you do call in, don't, come on, y'all. We don't need no long, drawn-out speeches, okay? We don't need that. get to the point so we others will have a chance to respond, comment, and or even rebuke what you have to say, and we'll be all right, okay? So that's those are the rules, and hey, we're going to have to drive by them, that's for sure. We're going to stick with them. Time for the shout-outs. Here's the shout-outs. Corn Dog 5 in the house. Divine Design. And you got Granny Ganja in the house. And guess 1168, 1174, and 1189. You know, welcome to the show, y'all. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. And I'm glad you can call. You're listening to the show. Hope you enjoy it. And I do, you know, I do really, really appreciate you. So, oh, man, I tell you, it's interesting. Hey, y'all like my new color on my font? Somebody said my red was hard to read, so I think I'm going to go ahead and keep this color right here. No, it's all good. It's all good. And you know what I noticed, though? You know, it's interesting that no matter what topic you bring to the forefront, there's always, always someone, there's always someone that has a negative vibe about it. And, you know, that is very interesting because that goes to show there's just some people out there that's not happy with themselves. did I say that right? Yeah, I said it right. And in order for them, since they aren't happy with themselves, they decide they're going to try and make everybody else as unhappy as they are. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not happening. It's not happening. So if you're one of those individuals that like to have them pity parties all the time, you know, there's no pity party here, okay? Also, we don't do any, I'm glad I said that, pity parties, we don't do no BTR gossip, we don't do any of that on the show. We just talk about topics and things that relate to us as people and the country, and that's what we talk about. You know, if we can come up with a solution, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think all the topics that we use, we like to present at least one or two possible solutions to the issue. Now, sometimes we get too deep in and we kind of stray away from the solution, but there's always a chance for a solution to be had. So we just letting y'all know that's what we're all about, okay? For those that may be new listening. All right, so I think I jacked my jaws enough now right now, and it's there for the taking. All right, so now, no, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Nah, you know what? I think I'm going to do it like this. All right, y'all. It's time for some music. It's time for some music. We're going to get the song of the day in the Wednesday Music Mix and, you know, give some of the others times to get here because I really want in people to listen to this show. They don't listen to any more of my shows. They need to listen to this one because there's always somebody out there that can use this, whether it's them or somebody you know in their family. Okay? So anyway, before I get too deep, y'all see how important this is to me because I keep going back to it. And it's just one of those things that's really close to me. But anyway, okay, without further ado, y'all, it's time to get some music rolling. Pep you up a little bit, letting you get your cocktails and your water, whatever you got to sip on, because we going to do the dang on thing. So without further ado, here it is, your Wednesday Music. All right, y'all. That was your Wednesday Jazz, man. I'm telling you, that was a very nice groove. And I was just sitting back enjoying it, man. That is, woo! You know, that is real cool. That was Down to the Bone by, and the song, name of the song was Zodiac. That's right. Down to the Bone is the name of the group. And the song is Zodiac. Y'all may want to check them out because they got a pretty, they got a nice sound. They really do. Nice sound and, whew, man, just grooving. You can't beat that. You can't beat that grooving going on. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Ganja. I don't know about no 90s disco. But, hey, in your world, it may have still been doing discos in the 90s. Who knows? All right. Anyway. Well, anyway, well, welcome, man. Welcome back. And, you know, once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. Hey, today we're talking alcoholism and depression. And if you want to be a part of the show, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And join us in the chat room if you like, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Guaranteed to be some outstanding conversation in the chat room as well. Now, I want to give shout-outs for those new coming to the show. Welcome. Ava from Indiana, a.k.a. you know who you are. And then we had no errors and open mic, but they keep popping in and out. So I don't know what's going on with that, but welcome to the show, y'all. So welcome to the show. I hope y'all enjoy it. All right. You know, and you know, it's I think I picked this quote. You know, y'all know it's time for the quote of the day. And you know what? I picked this quote right here because once I read it, you know, it took me a minute to read it a couple of times. And, you know, it really stood out. It really stood out to me. And I really, 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 really liked it. And I think a lot of you probably can how can I put it? A lot of you can actually relate. That's the word I'm looking for. Relate to exactly what's going, you know, what's going on with this quote. So, since I done set it up already, you know, it's that time, man. It's that time for us to drop a little make you think information on you now. And I'm trying to get there. Hold on. Here you go. All right. So, here it goes. Here goes your quote of the day. Goes as follows. Life isn't waiting. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. And that's by Vivian Green. You know, and that's very deep right there. That's very deep. Life isn't about, ooh, Lord have mercy, about waiting for the rain, for the storm to pass. And we know all the time there are times in our lives where things get stormy. I don't care who you are, how good you think it is, you just got it that way, you know. But some of us, when the storm comes, you know, we just let the storm beat us up, you know, pound on us and pound on us and pound on us all the time. All the time. And, you know, it's interesting because the more it beats on you, you know, think about it when a storm hits the coast, especially like on a beach. You know, what happens if you continue to let that storm beat on that beach? It begins to erode. You know, then small pieces come off. Then next thing you know, you look up and you got all kind of problems. You know, you missing a whole lot of sand. You know, but if you learn to dance in the rain, That's something different. That because then it's no longer eroding you or taking little bits and pieces out of you. You know, you out there throwing it off because you dance. Think about when you dance, you move around, right? So it doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same effect on you because you're not given a chance to eat them little pieces and bits off of you. And bam, guess what happens? You are good to go. You don't have to worry about it. Because the storm is not affecting you because it's no longer a storm. It's just raining. You know, and that's how sometimes, that's how we should. Now, I'm going to say everybody do, but sometimes that's how we should deal with some of our problems, if not all of them. You know, because sometimes we get them problems and you swear, you know, this is the biggest problem I've ever had in my life. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Woe is me. Oh. That's because you're letting that storm beat you up and take them little bits and pieces away from you. But if you learn how to dance in the rain, you know, then you ain't worried about them come off no more because you've changed your whole outlook on it. See what I'm saying? It's not a bother anymore. You know, you taking it as it's come. As you taking it, you throwing it off. Because why? Because you out there dancing in the rain. Yeah, you're doing the wobble in the rain. You know, the Chinese checker. You know, Texas two-step. Whatever you want to call it. But you just throwing the rain off. Throwing it off. Just like throwing your problems off. So that's what I get out the quote. Now, if anybody else, you know, got a different thought process about this quote, it's by Vivian Green, and one more time, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. Outstanding quote. Outstanding quote. All right? So, now that I have that done with, We're going to go on and move in to our topic today. And our topic is something that is very, very interesting that I must say. Alcoholism and depression. Alcoholism and depression. Now, you know, when I was writing it up, I put on here that, you know, very important diseases that affects, I know I said effects, but I mean effects so many of us every day. But here's the question I want to ask first and foremost. Now, when we say, you know what, Joe, you about to get the kick. All right, don't be talking about me. But anyway, look, check this out. Okay. Is alcoholism or depression, is it actually a disease? Or is it a illness? You understand the question? Because I did say it was a disease. I did. Now, but once I went back and thought about it, could it be also classified as an illness? Could it be? Could either one of those be? And I went to the Webster Dictionary. And it says, disease is a condition of the living animal or plant, body, or of one of its parts that impairs normal functioning and is typically manifested by distinguishing signs and symptoms. Okay. Now, so I guess you can say alcoholism has signs, has symptoms. But dang, so does depression. Okay. Now, let's look at illness. Illness is an unhealthy condition of body or mind. Now, if I look at those two right there, I would say my description and when I typed it up was very incorrect. It's not a disease. It's more of an illness. It is. It's an illness. Now, I'm going to put it out there, and I've just – you know, read you the two different definitions, and from the definition of illness, both of these are definitely illnesses. And they're the type of illnesses that they come from deep within you. You know what I mean? You know, it's one of those things that you know, a lot of times when it's happening to you, you don't know what's going on. You really don't. You don't know what's going on. But we can, you know, but the more aware we become of what the signs and symptoms and how we can deal with it, man, you know, it may not be you. It may not be somebody in your family, but I guarantee somebody will be listening there, and this may help them, and I'm glad if it does. Well, H2O, if you want to call it wellness, I guess. A wellness show. It is what it is. You know, but this is something that we needed to talk about. We really do. Indiana says, a disease creates an illness, but an illness doesn't have to be created by a disease. Okay. Now, that's interesting, Indiana. So, out of these two, depression or alcoholism, which one are they? Or can they, depends on how you're looking at it. I mean, you put it out there, I'm just asking the question. That's right. I'm asking the question. You know, because I just want to know. Now, y'all want to get in on this, 347-838-8622. We can really, really make some things happen here. All right. H2O say, is he a doctor of health or psychology? I was just asking, why is this guy so defensive? Who are you talking about? But anyway, you know what? Let's go ahead and I got some clips I'm going to play for y'all today. And, you know, it's oh, let's go ahead and make some things happen here. Here's a clip on actually alcohol and depression. See y'all on the other side.
It is a fact that alcohol can cause depression. What is depression? It is an ongoing feeling of sadness, hopelessness, and unhappiness that causes one to have a poor outlook on life. People do not just feel depression, they suffer from it. Depression causes the feeling of being fatigued all the time and causes a lack of interest in people and activities. Depression causes anxiety that can produce panic attacks and render the sufferer unable to do anything. Some people turn to alcohol to numb themselves from the pain of depression. Alcohol itself is a depressant, which can further exasperate the immobility that depression causes. Therefore, a depressed person should avoid alcohol. Depression caused by alcohol gets its start with the physical symptoms first. Serotonin levels are lowered in the brain when alcohol is consumed. Serotonin is what causes good feelings in your brain. This is where the root of the problem takes hold. Stress hormones are also affected by alcohol. Alcohol depresses the nervous system. Thus, stress levels go down. People who drink when they are stressed in order to relieve stress achieve this. However, once the alcohol wears off, the stress levels return to normal and often cause a person to feel worse or even more anxiety about a situation than before they began to drink. Alcohol affects the vitamin levels found in the body. Folic acid deficiency is one thing alcohol can cause. Folic acid deficiency can lead to the premature aging of the brain and even dementia. It also contributes to feelings of depression. Alcohol also attacks the antioxidants that reside in your blood. These antioxidants fight disease and aging. Alcohol can cause the body to feel fatigued and lethargic, which in turn can cause a person to feel poorly, causing depression. There is also evidence that alcohol consumption activates a gene that is linked to depression. This activation can be devastating for someone genetically prone to depression or other mental disorders. It can make it very difficult to treat a person who is depressed if they also attempt to self-medicate with alcohol. This use of a substance to cure a problem that it actually causes makes treating both the depression and the alcohol problem extremely difficult. Alcohol has a direct effect on aspects of a person's life that can also lead to depression and an overall feeling of despair. Often alcohol costs people relationships, employment, and the ability to participate in activities that they enjoy. The loss of family, friends, or a job due to alcohol dependency can cause a person to feel isolated and alone. These types of loss lead to hopelessness and a feeling of lowered self-worth. Depression can arise because of what alcohol dependency takes from a person's life, as well as what it does physically and mentally. It is a bad decision to turn to alcohol to alleviate even the minor effects depression may have. Alcohol can only add to the feeling of depression. It can cause depression to increase and further harm the person who is not only depressed, but then alcohol dependent. If you have a drinking problem, there is help available. Quit Drink for Life is your solution to take control of your alcohol problem. For permanent freedom from alcohol, head to www.quitdrinkforlife.com.
All right. Well, thank y'all for listening. For those that really listening and that's paying, you know, is may get something out of it. For those that don't, oh, well, you okay. You know, like I said before at the opening of the show, you know, somebody will listen and learn some other people's, and you're going to ridicule it like you ridicule everything else, so I'm all good. But, you know, yes, this may be a cyber AA meeting. Yes, this may be an Alcoholic Anonymous program, and some of you out there need it. I don't know why you're playing. You know, some of you, although you on here right now, talking noise, talking smack. Some of you out there, you're lonely. You're drinking. You're drinking by yourself. You know. And you know what about alcoholism? It's one of those funny things, man. Because there are such things that are called functioning alcoholics. Functioning alcoholics, and those are the alcoholics that at nighttime when they go home, they sit up all by themselves and drink everything, drink as much as they want to, and get towed down. But you guarantee the next morning if they have a job, they at work doing what they need to do. No, but that is a functioning alcoholic. And here's the thing. We as the friends of them, we can smell the alcohol on them, don't we? We smell it. But do anything to try and help them, or do we just, you know, go behind our doors and or whisper up, man, he sure smell like alcohol today. I wonder what he did last night. Heck, you know what he did. He come in that way every morning. You know, but do, you know, as so-called friends and what have you, do we take time to sit back and talk to him, you know, and say, you know, you need some help? No. You know, and just sit down and talk. You never know what's going on through their mind. You know, like the speaker said, you know, alcoholism, it's one of those things to where it can lead to depression, but depression can also lead to alcoholism. It's like they kind of go hand in hand. And you know, a lot of times we hear people say, man, I'm an alcoholic because I drink by myself. Oh, I'm an alcoholic because I don't go to those meetings. ain't that something? Let me tell you about that. You know, I'm going to tell y'all something. I was an alcoholic when I first got out of the military. I'll tell you my story. You know, anybody else want to tell their story, just come in. You know, I was an alcoholic. I was, as they say, a functioning alcoholic. Because I would go to work every day. Then when I get off from work at 5 o'clock, I'd go and get me a half a gallon of gin. And I would drink it all up that night. Okay. Just that simple. And then what I would do, get up the next day on time and make it to work. No, and this went on for some years, man. It went on for some years. But see, here's the thing. I didn't know it. See, I was not aware of it. I thought I was just, hey, having me a good time. You know, hey, I'm by myself. Hey, I drink all I want. But in my instance, it wasn't the alcohol that brought on the depression. The depression brought on the alcohol. But I wasn't aware of any of this. And see, that's how these two things work hand in hand. That's how they work hand in hand. You know, so we have to be aware of what's really happening when we start talking about alcoholism. Yeah, we joke about it. You know, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. Boy, he ain't no but an alcoholic. But you have to be careful how you label people these days. While you joking, you know, they may actually be depressed and alcoholic. You know, and there are signs that you should look for. There are signs. You know, but before I give you the signs, I'll give you some of them. You know, studies show that people become alcohol dependent because of personal issues. Okay, I'm going to give you one. You know, your husband overseas working hard. You back here in the States. You know, everything going fine until he comes home. Now, he comes home, you done spent up all the money. Now, there's an issue going on. That's become personal because, you know, he want to know where the money is. You mad because y'all, you know, you about to lose the house and you blaming him because he came home and didn't have a job lined up. Well, dang, there you go. Well, now that's stress. Being, you know, it's like an onion. It's like an onion. You know, you got them layers on top of layers on top of layers. You know, the core is there, but you done packed so much stuff on top. The only way you feel you can get through these layers is to drink. To drink. And that is never a good thing. You know, I'm not talking about drinking sociably. You know, I'm talking about drinking to the point where either you pass out, you become belligerent, and the only thing you think you're doing is drinking to relieve the stress that you're feeling. Understand? And that's not a good thing. So personal issues can do that. Then you got peer pressure. You know, peer pressure. It's really rampant in the military because, you know, everywhere you go, you drinking beer or what have you. You know, I mean, it's like, whoo, you know, and you drinking to hang out with your boys. You know, they throw a barbecue and you do nothing but drinking. That's all y'all do is sit around drinking. Y'all go up, you got to drink. Now, once again, you know, peer pressure. Man, come on. That's all you got. You know, that's all you got. Come on. I know you can hang with the big boys. You know, interesting, huh? I know it. You know, stuff like that. Traumatic events. And this is where a lot of soldiers fall in. Traumatic events. You know, don't get me wrong. There are civilians out there that go through traumatic events that also, you know, use alcohol as a getaway point. That's a good one, ain't it? A getaway point. You know, so are just some of what studies show help people become alcohol dependent. It really is. And it's interesting. And, you know, we have to take notice and understand that these are some of the things that happen. So if you see it forming, no, that's the time to stop. Don't wait till it get all blown out and now you got to go and see a therapist and all that, because I'm not going to say it's too late, but if you know what to look for now, you can always stop it and get help way before it becomes a very bad scene. I'm going back to the 70s now. Before it becomes a bad scene. That's all I'm saying. You know, And I see I got a couple of people with their hand up, and I'm going to get them in a minute. I want to play this one clip real fast on the 10 signs of alcoholism. And, you know, it's then we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit and let the callers in. So I see y'all on the other side in about 5 minutes.
All right, folks. Today's the day. It's time to get real. Hi, this is Stan Smith from 90 Day Recovery, and I'm glad that you downloaded this video. Now, I know that this is a difficult subject. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning looking forward to finding out if you are an alcoholic. But if you are here, then you're looking for answers, and I'll try my best to answer some of these questions, some of your questions in this video. You know what? I'm often asked, are there definite signs that would show that I have a problem with drinking? And while only you can determine if you are an alcoholic, there are some signs that you can watch for in your own behavior. But for this to work, you need to be honest with yourself. Try to view your behavior from the eyes of somebody observing your life from the outside looking in. And if you can honestly say that you show any of these 10 signs, seek help immediately. So let's get started. The first sign is that you get annoyed and irritated when someone criticizes or questions how much you're drinking. As the old saying goes, the truth hurts. Listen to your emotions the next time someone asks you about your drinking. And if you're getting a little hot under the collar, then you may need to ask yourself why. Next, if you routinely put yourself or others in danger while drinking, or if you know that a DUI is coming your way the next time you're stopped by the police, then you're showing a classic sign of being an alcoholic. And if you already have been charged with a DUI and you're continuing to drink and drive, then you definitely need to get help today. 3, don't know where your money is going, having fights over where the weekly budget has gone, and it's time to get real about how your drinking habit is hurting your finances. And remember, if your drinking is negatively impacting any part of your life, then you are at risk of being an alcoholic. Are you constantly showing up late for work? Are you using an excessive amount of sick days to recover from your drinking binges? And your drinking is impacting an important part of your life. It's messing with your job. Remember, non-alcoholics don't routinely miss work due to excessive drinking. Let's take a look at number 5. Do you find that you're obsessively focused on planning your next social occasion? I remember being consumed with how I was going to sneak a drink in during my lunch hour. I thought about it. I planned for it constantly. How about you? 6, are you fighting with your spouse or your loved ones about your drinking? Remember, an alcoholic continues to drink even if it's causing negative consequences in their life. If you insist on drinking, even when it strains the relationships that mean the most to you, then you should seriously consider seeking help. Which leads us to number 7. If you are hiding your drinking or drinking alone to avoid questions from friends or family, then your behavior matches that of an alcoholic. And as your addiction deepens, you may exhibit the 8th sign of alcoholism, which is continuing to drink even though your health may be suffering. I remember spending a night in the hospital due to heart problems induced by my heavy drinking. And the very next day, I was drinking. My health didn't stop me. I was addicted. How about you? Number 9 gets right to the point. Deep down, you know that your drinking is harming you, your career, and those you care about most. If you find yourself feeling guilty after drinking, perhaps frantically trying to remember what you might have said or did while drinking, then you're most likely slipping into alcohol addiction. You need to take a hard look. And number 10, but most of all, if you know you must stop, but you can't, then get help now. Constantly making and breaking promises to stop drinking will only accelerate your slide into all-out alcoholism. I encourage you to see these 10 signs as opportunities to take a U-turn and get help now. A great place to start is the 90 Day Recovery blog at www.90dayrecovery.com/blog. Here you'll find practical, discreet tips to start you down the path to eliminating the harmful impact of alcohol addiction in your life. Go there now and sign up for our free newsletter, receive a free copy of the 12-Step Manifesto, and get access to some powerful videos that will help you immediately. So I look forward to seeing you there. And if you like what you see there, go ahead and comment on the blog. I would love to hear from you. Be safe today, and God bless.
All right, y'all. That was the 10 signs of alcoholism. And you know what? I guess I touched on a lot of them without really knowing I touched on them. But I'm just talking a lot from experience and what I've seen and what I've done. You know, and drinking and driving. You know, now I know some of y'all said to me, hey, what are you talking about? I drink and drive all the time. I ain't an alcoholic. I only drink a beer or two, right? Well, that's still drinking and driving. But, you know, maybe that's not considering yourself an alcoholic. But it can lead to it leads to someone being killed, whether you buzzed or, you know, you are alcoholic or not. You know, so you have to think about that. But here's a good one, and this basically leads to the breakups of family. That's how come alcoholism is just as bad as depression, because you start spending your budget, your money budget for your house. You know, you want to drink so bad, you go ahead and what you do? You use your car payment money to go and get you to something to drink. You know, and if anybody out there doing that, you got to sit back and think, now, I have a problem. You know, and the guy on it said 90-day help. Well, let me tell y'all something about this 90-day help thing. For a true alcoholic, 90 days is not enough. It's not going to solve it in 90 days. Okay? It's not. Now, most therapists, what have you, will tell you 30 days to 6 weeks. Okay? 30 days, 6 weeks. And some say, well, take a 12-step process to get over it. But let me tell you something, y'all. Recovering from alcoholism is a lifelong battle. Okay, it is. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about this thing. You just don't being an alcoholic in 6 weeks, 9 months, doing a 12-step process, it's not going to happen. Because regardless as anything else that you become addicted to, and that basically what's going on, you're becoming addicted to the alcohol, okay? You have these urges. You're going to be fighting sometimes. And the biggest problem, the biggest fight is coming in when you feel stressed, when something is not going right. As the quote said that I use, life isn't when the storm comes, huh? When them storms get there, you want to go back and go back to that old habit, because you know that to in your mind, because it's feeding you now. Like, hey, you know it can ease this. You know, if you get this a little drink, you know everything gonna be all right. You ain't got to think about it. And that is what is going on. That's the storm right there. That's the storm. Now, if you learn how to fight it and get through it, then you're learning to dance in the rain. If that's what the quote was today, you're learning to dance in the rain. Woo! See? Y'all still with me here? I know y'all got your little things going on. And yes, depression. Alcoholism leads to depression, and depression leads, and I mentioned that before, you know, it's just one of those things. It's they work hand in hand. You know, for the person who just wrote, I'm depressed, listen to this, well, go and listen to something else. I ain't got no problems with it. You know. But, you know, depression, I mean, alcoholism is something that, how can I put it? It's not frowned upon, actually, here in this country. It's not frowned upon. If you look at these commercials, what they're doing, they promoting alcoholism. You know, they make it seem like it is just so sexy and cool to get that drink. You know, you get this certain kind of car, you can get this type of drink. You know, understand what I'm saying? And that's how they get us. That's how they get us. But let me bring someone else in. let me bring someone else in and let's see what they have to say. Woo! Let's see. Hello, last 41399. Are you there? Hello. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. I guess they're not there. All right, let's go on and get them out. Once again, if you want to come in and add any comments to the topic today, 347-838-8622. Hey, I want to hear some of your stories also, or what you think about, you know, alcoholism and depression. You know, because there's, you know, I'm not an expert. Okay, I'm gonna tell you straight up, I'm not an expert on this. You know, I know what I've been through with both of these illnesses, I can tell you that. But that doesn't make me an expert. Makes me a witness, what have you. Okay? That's what I'm saying. But anyway, you know, so y'all join in. You know, in the chat room, they're having a pretty decent discussion. Wine is supposed to be good for the heart. Yeah, wine is supposed to be good for the heart. I agree. I agree, yeah. But when you take that wine, see, and that's another thing. Here's another thing about it. You know, wine is so good for you. You know, you can become an alcoholic just drinking drinking wine. Sit there and you drink bottle after bottle after bottle. Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't need to be real hard alcohol. No, it don't. But you know what? It's all good. That's how you can become an alcoholic. Now, what are the ways you can help yourself or someone else? First, you have to be honest with yourself and realize you have a problem. You have a problem. Now, you know, that's the first step. You know, I know it takes some longer than others because soldiers just feel like that's the norm. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I've been doing it since I've been in, and it works. You know, but until they realize that we really do have a problem, you know, everything is not going to work for you. And once you have the problem, don't just say, okay, I can fix it on my own. No. It's not going to happen like that. Because if you could fix it on your own, you wouldn't be an alcoholic. See what I'm saying? it's just one of those things. Get the help that you need. Get the help that you need. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And it'd be okay. But you have to stick with it, and you got to know what is going on. Okay, I got a question in the chat room. Say, is this guy is going through something emotionally? No, I'm not. I'm trying to help those out there that would otherwise not hear and get what's going on. You know, just because you think you're fine, that's fine. But don't knock what I'm doing because you think you okay. I don't care what you think. Because hopefully there's somebody out there listening that needs this information. And those that need it, you know, that's been fighting in the storm all the time, they can learn to dance in the rain. That's what I'm talking about right there. Okay? All right. So I just had to clear that up. All right. Now, well, I tell you, you know, just some people. Anyway, so We're going to move on to depression. We didn't talk about one of the twins right there, alcoholism, okay? And that's what I call them, the twins, because they work side by side, okay? And a lot of the symptoms are basically the same, one without the other, okay? So now, let's get it on with depression. Depression, you know, that's another one of those illnesses that is unseen, can wreak havoc in your life, can make you a hermit, can make people not want to be around you. What else? What else about depression? You know, can ruin your home life, work. I'm telling you, I was so depressed when I went to work, they started calling me Mr. Grumpy. Mr. Grumpy. And I couldn't believe that, you know, but that's how bad it was. You know, I go home and that's where I stay, at home. At home. No, didn't want to be around a lot of people. Hell, I still don't want to be around a lot of people. You know, just give me my bottle and my drink and I'm good. I was happy with that. You know, as long as I had my bottle in my own little world, I could care less. You know? Give me that and some dang on Sci-Fi Network, and I was happy. You know? And it's crazy. Okay. Great. You know, but depression, that's another thing. You know, and it took someone else to bring it to me. See, and that's when you have to have real friends. Real friends. You know, that's willing to say, look, this is not you. This is not you. What's wrong? You know, what can I do to help? But before you have to realize that you want to get help. Because you may not realize it. Because I didn't. You know, but it was something that I went through. And just like alcoholism, well, contrary to what anybody make you believe, it's not something that you're just going to get over in 60, 90 days or a 12-step program. It's something that you battle for life. Because every time you look up, there's that storm coming at you. There's that storm. But if you know what to look for and know what the triggers are, you can always dance in the rain. You know what I mean? There is a clip I want to play right here. Let me find it. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, man, where is the clip? And, you know, it's going to kind of help you understand a little bit about this thing. Chronic depression. I'm going to play this clip explaining what chronic depression is. Because, you know, there's different types of depression. There really is. You know, but we're going to go with chronic right now. And when I come back, we'll talk a little bit more. Okay? See you on the other side.
Most people feel gloomy, worn out, or disconnected from life at one time or another. But when these feelings continue nearly every day for 2 years or more, you may be suffering from chronic depression.
What differentiates chronic depression, also called dysthymia or dysthymic disorder, from major depression, is that symptoms are less severe and often persist for several years. People with chronic depression typically function adequately in everyday activities, yet feel continually unhappy and unable to live life to its fullest. It's estimated that chronic depression affects more than 10 million Americans annually. Many celebrities, including Jim Carrey, Drew Barrymore, Harrison Ford, Hugh Laurie, and Sheryl Crow, have spoken openly about coping with ongoing depression. The exact cause of chronic depression is not known. However, as in major depression, it's believed to involve changes in the brain that result in reduced levels of brain chemicals, called neurotransmitters, especially serotonin, which helps regulate mood and emotions. Chronic depression may develop in response to significant life stressors, such as the loss of a loved one, a violent or otherwise traumatic event, severe financial or relationship problems, or difficulties at work. It may also be caused by certain chronic illnesses, such as AIDS, cancer, Parkinson's disease, as well as by long-term use of some medications. Studies suggest that a family history of any depressive, anxiety, or bipolar disorder can also increase the likelihood of developing chronic depression. Chronic depression often begins with vague feelings of sadness and emptiness that gradually multiply, and it can start in childhood or adulthood and occurs more often in women than in men. The primary hallmark of chronic depression is a persistently low, dark, or sad mood accompanied by chronic lack of pleasure in daily life. It also is not uncommon for sufferers to experience a major depressive episode called double depression, especially if chronic depression goes untreated. No two people experience chronic depression exactly the same way, but most struggle with the same symptoms that characterize major depression, but with less severity. These symptoms may include feelings of hopelessness, fatigue, insomnia, or excessive sleeping, poor concentration, appetite changes, and low self-esteem. Several of these symptoms must be present for at least 2 years in adults, 1 year in children, to meet the criteria for a diagnosis of chronic depression. Actor-filmmaker Woody Allen often portrays characters in his movies that seem to be dysthymia sufferers. However, it's not uncommon for sufferers to experience occasional periods of feeling relatively normal amid low moods. Unfortunately, dysthymic disorder is less responsive to treatment than major depressive disorder. For many sufferers, the first step is visiting a family physician to rule out any other causes of the depression symptoms, such as a medical condition or substance abuse issues. Treating chronic depression typically includes psychotherapy, in which a mental health professional may provide counseling, cognitive and/or behavioral therapy to aid in developing coping skills. Treatment may also include medication, such as antidepressants, which should be mutually determined by patient and physician according to effectiveness versus side effects. In any case, medication for chronic depression may take several weeks to provide optimal benefits. Chronic depression sufferers can also benefit from positive lifestyle habits, such as healthy eating, regular exercise, avoiding alcohol, and nurturing a strong support system. Rarely do people with chronic depression recover completely. Some require ongoing therapy or medication. But seeking an accurate diagnosis and treatment is an important first step in enjoying life again. If you think you or someone you know may be suffering from chronic depression, please consult your family physician or a mental health professional.
All right. Woo! Chronic depression. Now, as you heard, you know, one of the key things he mentioned in there, as we were talking about earlier, was substance abuse, taking pills to relieve the headaches you got. But the more you take the pills, the worse the headache gets, you know. And, of course, drinking. You know, you can drink your way, drink, and you're still not feeling any better. You know, that's the type of depression, man, that is bad. It's just bad. You know, and you don't realize that's what's going on. You just think you have a bad headache. You really do. You really do. Depression. Depression is, you know, honestly, depression is a very, it's painful. I know y'all talking about, how is it painful? Well, I'm going to tell you, it is very painful. Depression is one of those things that it causes you to hurt mentally, spiritually. Okay? Because most of the time when depression is brought on, it's usually something traumatic has happened to you. Okay? It is. Now, of course, we said alcohol, you know, can bring on depression because alcohol is a depressant. Okay? It is. Although most people say, well, I feel good when I drink. Yeah, but what happens when you drink too much and you start coming down? All of a sudden you get this low, low, low feeling. But real depression, is usually caused by something traumatic happening in your life. In your life. Okay? And it causes a lot of pain. It really does. And here's the interesting thing about this depression. The more, the deeper the hurt, or the deeper the depression, the more the hurt, the more the pain. I'm just telling you from fact, experience, okay? It is the more the pain. And it's not something that you can ever, ever put your hand on it because you don't know, you do not realize that it is happening to you. You don't. Now, you know, how do we fix this thing? You know what? Depression is like alcohol. You never fix it. You understand it, and you live with it, but you never fix it. Because, once again, as I say, that storm is always there. The storm is always there. Okay? It's there. But what you have to do is to learn to dance in the rain. Now, don't let it eat at you either. And that's what depression does. It just eats away at you. No, I know individuals that has lost up to 50 pounds just for being depressed. You know, and this is something serious. It really is. It's very serious. Hold on. I see we have an individual with their hand up, so let me bring them in. Maybe they tired of hearing me talk. I don't know. All right. Mr. Joe, what's going on?
I'm always tired here when you talk. You know that. So I thought I'd call in. I'm going to dance in the rain.
Well, dance in the rain then. What you got?
Well, you know what? What you're talking about is actually very, very serious because millions of people in America, not just vets, are depressed. Half of Americans are taking antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hundreds of millions of people who are taking Xanax and the rest of the genre there. So this affects everybody, and it affects middle class, upper class, lower class. It affects everybody. There's even a name for it when it affects the upper class. It's called affluenza. Those are people who have everything. They've got the nice houses. They've got the nice cars. They've got the nice job. They've got the nice wives. They've got the kids. But they're still depressed. So this is something which affects hundreds of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And you said a whole lot there because it does. It really does. You know, it's sort of like what they say, the silent killer. You know, mm-hmm. because if you let it prolong, it eventually eats away at you.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, so I mean that's such a wonderful thing, you know that you can recognize it. I mean, you know, not that it eats away, that you can recognize it and be able to deal with it, you know. And I think that's a lot of the problem is people do not want. Well, I'm not going to say they don't. Well, yeah, in some cases they do not.
No, I was about to say that. They don't want to recognize it. They don't want to acknowledge that they're suffering from depression, because that means that they're doing something wrong. They're going to blame themselves, and that'll accelerate the depression even worse.
Right. You know, and, you know, like we said before, you know, you can come depressed, and then first thing you look for is something to release you from the depression. So you turn to the bottle or the beer or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got to say this, man. Alcohol is not the only thing you become an alcoholic on, okay? No, most people say, no, man, I just drink beer. Well, you can be an alcoholic drinking beer, too.
No,
Yeah, you know, but, you know, when you put alcoholism and depression together, you really have a issue.
I mean, you've really got a double whammy there. You've got somebody who may have started off being an alcoholic simply because they liked alcohol, and maybe after a while they began to drink because, you know, little petty things started to add up. So after a while they became addicted to alcohol. Then they became depressed. Now you have alcohol, which is affecting the depression. And then there are other people who are depressed, who have become depressed because of their particular issues, and then they look, you know, for the bottle. And then you can get started either way. And then you'll just be a vicious circle. The thing is that in this country, I think more men are depressed than women, I believe. I'm not sure. But I think primarily, if that's the case, that's because we've been indoctrinated to take it like a man, don't show our feelings, have a stiff upper lip, as they say in England. And that doesn't allow us to alleviate ourselves of our depression. It doesn't allow us to express our particular vulnerabilities, our particular sorrows, our particular fears. And that also adds to male depression.
Yeah. Well, see, and most studies will say more women are depressed than the men. But you hit it right on the head there. You know, we as guys, and I think that's where I fell into, you know, we're not raised, or, you know, to say, hey, you know, I'm depressed, I need some help. No, we deal with it, and if it takes drinking or whatever, we become functioning alcoholic depressed. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, that's what we become. And that's the way, you know, even if we've noticed, go back and we think now, and we look at where we came from, you probably can see it in your life growing up. Then you watched it the same way, and you just didn't realize what was going on. So watching it as a kid, you think, well, this is normal. This is the way it's supposed to be. And it's not. You know, that's why, you know, trying to just put it out there so people understand that this thing is serious. You know, it's really serious.
Well, it's extremely serious. It affects people very, very deeply. I mean, people lose their jobs, their marriages, their relationships because of depression. You know, and I don't know, I know what the real cause is, and I don't know what really keeps it going for years, but I would think that if there's a joke about depression, it's just a joke that they say within psychiatric circles, and, you know, like the one guy goes to the psychiatrist, and he says, "Doc, I'm so depressed, well, what can I do?" And, you know, he goes to one doctor, and the doctor says, "Here, take this pill." He goes to another psychiatrist. He says, "Well, I recommend shock therapy." He finally goes to a psychiatrist who knows what he's fucking talking about, and he says, "Get a job." If you get a job, you know, you have money coming in, you can go out, you can meet people. That'll help, you know, cure the depression. But everybody else, they just want to hear, "Take a pill, get a shot," stuff like this.
Yeah, and you know what, though, Joe? You mentioned it. Yeah, you know, and a lot of medical professionals, that's one thing they're quick to say, "Here, take this pill right here, take this," without really finding out what, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, the onion, the layers on the onion, instead of trying to get to the core and pull some of the layers back off the onion. They just want to give you a medication that make you just look at what you got already, and that's it. But yet, the core issue that what caused this depression is still there. So what I'm saying is, people, is, you know, don't let the medical, I mean, they say go and see your medical
professional,
professional, but don't just let them give you a pill. You know, that is not going to help you. Okay.
That only takes care of the symptoms, yeah.
No, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Depends on how strong the dose is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, you got to push them. Push them. Like, there was a commercial on, you know, where you go somewhere and you ask questions about everything else, but you get to your doctor and you just take what he's saying, you say, okay, and that's it. No, question the doctor. Make the doctor do what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Because just taking pills is not going to help depression. It's not. It may mask it, you know, cover it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
Well, yeah, because the layers of the onion, they haven't been pulled back to the core issue, which is what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
The real reason
so now,
why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you got a depressed zombie walking around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, somebody whose symptoms have been masked, but they still got to go to work, but yet they can function at work, but at the same time, they still have their core problems, which is affecting them. But they're not taking care of they're not getting rid of the problems, which is what the basis for that joke was. You know, some people are depressed because, like when you were talking about a guy, a veteran, fighting for his country, comes back from overseas, and now the woman's going to give him a hard time. That's a topic for a new show. But that could be a good cause for depression right there. You're fought for your country. You're coming back. You expect to be treated as a hero, at least within your own family, and your wife's giving you a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I would somebody like that should be depressed.
Oh Lord, you know what? I'm not really gonna say that because I really don't want anybody to go through what I went through with depression. I don't, you know, because it's not a fun thing. It's you know, it's really not. It's not fun at all.
It isn't because depression can lead to feelings of suicide. And that's what happens to millions of people in America without having to have been a veteran, without having to have been in the front, without having to have been shot at. People get depressed because they're not getting what they want. And some people can handle it and some people can't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm kind of surprised that there were more female depressed victims than males, but okay.
Well, you know, like we said before, you know, males just don't report it. That's all, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, because in male circles, you know, we drink all the time, so it's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to have a drink. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You
mm-hmm.
know, you may have that one person you talk to, you know, that's real close to you, but that's
mm-hmm.
it. You know, and when you're talking, what you're doing? You're drinking. Or you watching sports, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you got to be able to realize the signs. You know, as boys, sometimes we be like, okay, man, well, I'll tell you what you got to do. Man, just say, help it. You know what I mean? Just say, help it, keep going.
Huh?
I mean, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, I know. People don't really know how to deal with depression, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, hold on, let me bring another caller in.
Okay.
All right, 111, you're on the air. Who do I have here?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Michael.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Hold up.
What's up?
Hey, Michael, I was talking behind your back before, but I wasn't talking behind your back, okay?
Okay.
Oh,
all
okay.
right. But y'all discussed that on this show.
Nah,
okay,
I,
but anyway, what you got to add, Michael?
Well, not really much. Just listening, but, you know, a couple of things. You know, you're right with the clips you played with alcohol. First of all, alcohol is a drug, just like any other drug. Anything that you put in your body to feel a certain way or get your certain stimuli or stimulus in your body and you think you need it to do better or get through something is a drug. So, you know, and everyone goes through depression, the rest of us. People may be hiding that depression, and depression, I don't think necessarily always have to be isolating yourself. People may use that depression in other areas. They may act different, but they may be going through certain things. But you're right. When you go through the depression, it is about emotions, but the problem is, and this is where it comes complex. We have this terminology out here that people don't supposed to get emotional. They don't supposed to get. That's a lie. We all in this world get emotional. Every decision you make, all of that has emotion. Even if you say you try not to use emotions to have a better thought process, that betterment is an emotion because you want to have a different end result. But that's why a lot of liquor stores, a lot of drugs affect the most emotional people in our society, such as the black community. Before this big drugs or alcoholism, us as people went through emotions. And when you culminate that and you put that in a community around people, of course they're going to use it. And a lot of times that one thing is very important about your clip, notice what he said. He never said don't be emotional. He said think about your emotions. Think about why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And think about the action. He never said that about not having. So you have some people who say you can't be emotional, but you're fooling. And that may cause people. So we just got to handle our emotions. But some of us cause depression on ourselves, and other people do cause depression on other people. They try to. They try to make them mad. They try to make them upset. So we just need to think about certain things. And one last thing. A lot of people who have not dealt with alcoholism or drug abuse, never been counseled or anything like that, there's many, many people, Mr. Talk, that are alcoholics, that are going through depression, and they need counseling. They're going on their regular jobs. They're doing what they got to do. But they don't see how they're built up, and their hidden anger is affecting them in other areas. They may be thinking they hold their nose up in the air and treat everybody wrong because someone, you know, did them back way back in the past. They may got it going on, but nobody doesn't like them. So there's many, many different ways of handling this depression, but a lot of people who say they don't get depressed are the ones who get depressed. But that's all I got to say, Mr. Tom. That's it.
Okay. You know what, Michael? And you said a whole lot, and I agree with a lot of it. I have a question for you, though, a couple of questions. And the first one is, you said that a lot of depressed individuals bring it on themselves.
Yeah, it works both ways. I'm saying other people try to, bring it on themselves, and other people bring it on. Yeah, we do.
Now, please expound on that a little bit. How would you bring depression on yourself?
Well, hypothetically speaking, if I was just hypothetically speaking, hypothetically
okay.
speaking, if I was a gambler and I gambled, and that gambling caused me depression, and I know it caused me depression before. Now I'm not gambling, but then now I got some more money. Now I want to gamble. I'm personally going back into that cycle, and then when I lose again, or I'm going back to that cycle again, I lose again. I'm going to depress. So we're doing. So some people can actually do that because other people may inflict, try to cause people anger, try to make them a victim, try to hurt them physically to cause a depression or cause, someone may beat somebody's face up and disfigure their face, and some people may get depressed by looking at that. Of course, we have to come out. And then one last thing, everybody goes through their own process through that. We all go through it. We have this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone goes through their own process. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And you know what? Once you explained it like that, I do agree with you. I really do.
Let me expand on that.
How would you ever disagree with me, Mr. Talk? I don't understand.
Here's what I'm going to
do. I just do that. I'm quiet.
I don't quite agree with what Mike's saying, but I agreed with his first statement that people can bring it on themselves. Now, the example he gave, I don't agree with, because let's say you're a kid in an abusive relationship with your parents, who both of them are scumbags. They beat you, and as Mike was saying, punch your face in, disfigure you, etc. That's not bringing it on yourself. That is a result of circumstances beyond your control.
Never said that was bringing on myself. Michael,
let him finish, then I'll give you your chance, okay?
Okay, all right.
Can bring it on themselves is, let's say, for example, you're an ambitious yuppie. That's another term from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like disco. and you're trying to rise up the corporate ladder, but you're not really getting there as quickly as you'd like to. So you're getting depressed because you're not reaching your expectations. You're not reaching and attaining your goals. So what happens? You're not getting what you want. You're getting depressed. And let's say your work evaluation isn't quite up to the standards that you want to be for the promotion. I think in those instances, your circumstances as a result of your choices have caused the depression that you have set upon yourself, as opposed to the first example where a kid who is a prisoner can't really escape. So now Mike can come back at me. Okay, Mike. Oh, boy.
No. I mean, the only thing is clear. When the gambling situation, and I think it may be in the same situation, that may, the way you look at yourself and your actions is causing your depression. The second example, when someone is traumatically trying to physically hurt someone and beat their face in, that's another person may cause another person depression. That's all I want to say. And if you look at our both examples with the gambling situation and even the loud, you're still looking at the person's individual decision-making that's causing them the depression. So we're saying the same thing, Joe.
I agree. You know, basically, Michael's example is saying the guy's bringing more stress on himself because he knows he's losing money, but he keeps going back and back, and that's more stress. And eventually, he becomes depressed because, you know, he done blew all the house money and what have you. Now he got to go and tell his wife, but yet he goes right back and does it again. Yeah, I can see that, Michael. And the kid, his environment is causing depression in him because what he sees and the abuse he's getting, he just shuts down and goes into his own little shell, and henceforward bringing depression, henceforth putting more layers and layers on that onion.
Yeah,
that's it. All right, I got a clip I want to play, and it is. In fact, I'm gonna play two of them. One says depression in women, and other one says depression in men. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about that. All right,
good.
So I see y'all on the other side.
Hi, I'm Gordon McInnes, and I work here at Carolina Beach Counseling in Carolina Beach, North Carolina, and like to talk to you today a little bit about how women deal with depression. Depression hits women about twice as much as it does men. Now, in my personal experience, I'm not 100% sure if it's really twice as much in women as it is men, is that it's maybe twice as much reported in women than it is men. I think socially it's a little easier for a woman to talk about being depressed than it is for a man to talk about being depressed. But the impact is the same on both men and women. Women, however, are able to, at least in our society, show their emotions a little bit more and have those emotions displayed out for other folks. So it really works about the same. I mean, we all have the same kind of brain. Our brains are made out of the same kind of chemicals. Women also, obviously have cycles that they go through and that kind of thing. So that can have an impact on women and their depression as well. And women also are more likely to go seek therapy and go seek help. But a lot of times, the first place they don't usually go and talk to a therapist first. They're going to go talk to their primary care physician. And the problem is that sometimes with depression, especially I find with women, is that anxiety kind of goes along with depression, those anxious feelings, maybe even some panic, that kind of thing. And so when they go and talk to the doctor, a lot of times those are the symptoms that are more disturbing, are the anxiety symptoms. And so they go talk to the doctor, they tell them all about their anxiety symptoms and how they can't sleep and their mind's racing and their thoughts are racing. And so he puts them on an anti-anxiety medication, and they don't get any better, because it's not the right medication. And so it's important to really kind of look at what are the symptoms that you're actually feeling, and looking at those depression symptoms and actually going and talking to the doctor about that. Doctors are there to help. They're not there to judge. They're not there to say, oh, you're a bad person because you're depressed, or you did this wrong, you did that wrong. If you don't tell the doctor what's really going on and leave things out, then the doctor can't make really good decisions for your health care. And that's what's important too. Now, again, a lot of times people come come and talk to a therapist, that kind of thing. And I like to work in coordination with either their primary care physician or a psychiatrist who has, a little specialized training in working with psychiatric issues. They're an MD, but they have the specialized training on top of it. I think sometimes in general practitioner offices, they're not necessarily really well-versed in how to identify depression really well. So a lot of times they will make a referral to a counselor, or they'll make a referral to a psychiatrist to have them evaluated to see if we're really dealing with depression, if we're dealing with something else. That's some basic information. Make sure that you go and get some advice from a healthcare professional.
Men typically don't present with the characteristic signs and symptoms of depression as described in the DSM. Men often will present with other signs and symptoms such as irritability, aggression, addictive types of behaviors. What are those? They could be excessive drinking, drug use. They often engage in escaping types of behaviors. And those could be things like working too much, promiscuity, maybe driving really, really fast often, when that's not typically what they're like. And when men come to a physician's office, they often don't talk about, I'm feeling really sad, I'm kind of hopeless. They often talk about stress, I'm stressed. And the things that they present with, again, not necessarily what we would expect to see in a depressed person per se, but something more like, I'm always pissed off at people. I'm really angry. Seem to be getting fights with my mates at work. I'm arguing a lot with my wife lately. My kids, you know, I just don't seem to have patience with them anymore. So those are some of the things that we look for in men when we suspect that perhaps they're suffering from depression.
All right. Well, the first one we heard was about depression in women, and the second one was about depression in men. Now, you know, he said something about the women that I right. kind of disagree with, because he said they talked to the primary care physician. Well, we know the first person a woman going to go to is her best friend, which is another woman. You know, and if that best friend doesn't realize what's going on, she gonna give her some bad advice, period. You know, now as far as the man, he kind of got it right, because we will drink or we'll try and stay at work as long as we can to avoid whatever we got going on at the house or wherever we live at or whatever we got going on with us. So I kind of can get with that. But I'm sorry, what y'all think about that video? I mean, it sounds...
You want to go, Joe, first?
No, he must be making a sandwich. Go ahead, Michael.
He needs to stop what he's doing. It's the problem. He's dividing men and women when it comes to emotions and depressions. Stop it. He can get all his degrees that he got. I agree with him. He needs to stop this. Stop dividing us. Stop it. Men do this more. Women drink too. Women may be more promiscuous of it. I say depression. Me as coming older, I question some things. Depression can be in many forms, Mr. Talk. It may not be isolation. You may do something that you know you really shouldn't do, but you really don't want to be a part of it. But you're acting out. Adults can act out like children. A woman may be promiscuous because a guy, she's still depressed because that guy cheated on her and she's in this provincial stage and there's all this. Stop with this divide. I'm just using that as an example. When it comes to the depression, people can do certain things in depression and just leave it at that. Once we start dividing women are more this, women are more that, it seems like men got to say, oh, well, women get more depressed, more. We got to stop it. Because we all are emotional. Men and women are all have the same emotions in common. We're not robots. None of us can do it. That's the only problem that I have. Now, I agree with the first clip, but that clip dividing us up, man, I think it's not right. Because psychologically, we're talking about feelings. You took earlier. You said it numbs us feelings. That's with everybody. Now we may act it out in certain ways, you know, but no. I wouldn't divide it up though. Hmm. Me personally, that's the only thing, Mr. Talk, because I think
okay.
That's it. I wouldn't divide it up.
But Michael, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you do have to really look at it as that way, because we all have emotions, but we are all men and women are just raised differently. You know, women are raised to be able to show their emotions. With a man is not going to show his emotions. He keeps it in more
that's
the way he was raised. Well, is it a problem?
No, and that's the problem. Yeah, of course that's the problem, because why would you tell a human being to hold your emotions in when factually it will never, you can never, if let's say it differently, for example, real quick, let's say you make me mad. And making me mad, Mr. Talk, I get mad and start cussing you out. I'm showing my anger, right? But I can also get mad at you and don't talk to you for 2 years. I'm still mad. It's so. I said again, the action is this, but I'm still in that anger. I'm still separating myself with you. We're still at war. I'm just acting it out in different ways. We still not showing each other love. Come on, Mr. Talk. We can see this every day.
All right.
So,
Mike.
So right.
All right. Go ahead, Joe. Joe? He came back for a hot minute, then he left again. But Mike, you know what, Mike? I think more men are more promiscuous than women.
I'm just listening.
Oh. Well, I thought you had something to say. But I think women are more promiscuous. I mean, more promiscuous than the women are when it comes to depression and trying to find an outlet. I mean, that's just my take on it, you know. Because women, when women get depressed, usually, you know, they seek somebody to talk to, you know. And it's natural because usually they have a bigger, how can I put, say support channel than we as men do. No, would you agree with that or you disagree with that? I can't hear you, Michael. Okay. I hear Joe's hum. Well, I keep going. So, you know, either way, you know, depression is something that we have to be able to recognize. You know, we really do. We have to be able to recognize it. Because if we don't, man, we're going to have a whole lot of hurt going on. I see somebody else with their hands up, so let me bring them in. All right, let's see. 111, welcome to the show. What I have here?
Ugh.
Okay. That was cute. stupid but cute. Okay. You know. Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so y'all, we got what? Let me get it, baby. We have 18 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and continue hearing the show live, give us a call, 347-838-8622. And you continue hearing live after the 4 o'clock time has come. Okay, anyway, so let's get to this depression thing. She didn't come talk, not in a ran away. But you know what? Depression and look, if you feel like you're depressed, all right, I say seek help. I really do. But you know, sometimes if you just sit back, relax, and think about it, you can come up with the reason that you actually came depressed. And Michael had a point, though. You know, all these pills and medication, and Joe said it also, you know, half of the citizens walking around here are depressed or on some type of medication to help them supposedly deal with their depression. So I think in some instances, it's some people, some doctors use that as a way to not diagnose what the real issue is. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, when they want to give you all these dang on pills and things, make them explain to you why. You know, tell let them go. Why do I need this? What, you know, why? You know, instead of sitting there and trying to help you get to the bottom of what's really causing your depression. Yes, go ahead, Michael.
Well, like we said before, there's many factors that cause depression. It's a combination of what we do ourselves and other people. And I think just talking about it like you're talking about it, but, you know, we all go through our ups and downs. And many people haven't, and I understand drugs have their pros and cons, because even some of the drugs that stop depression says it, the side effects is depression. So I understand. It's crazy. But I understand, but having said that, you can't say it's not helping some. I cannot say that. I can't put everybody in a basket. And we all go through, try to search for things to try to help us out with our depression, but we still go back and forth and struggle. I mean, you can just see it anytime. I mean, in all cases, no man has come up with a great potion to solve this, because actually the depression, it's more so we cause depression on each other than ourselves. A lot of pressure that we put on ourselves, on how other people treat us. And I'm not saying bad, but if you want to put a percentage, there is a percentage into that. It may be half and half, or 55, 45, I don't know. But getting back into it, we have to look within ourselves, and how we look at each other, and look within ourselves, and look how other people treat us. Because how other people treat us, you can't deny other people was kind of affected in what we were going through, from the soldier on the battlefield, through a husband that just got cheated on, through, you know, certain type of things. So it's a combination of looking at self and looking how you deal with others, and how when others try to identify, and when other people trying to inflict pressure on you, try to get you mad, try to get you upset. That's why the first clip, I love what he said. He said, you got to watch your emotions. If this person's trying to get you mad, watch out for that, because you got to be king. It's a chess game out here, mental. Everything that we always talk about is concepts, mentals, how people think. The mind is very powerful. It is very powerful. And depression comes from the mind. It comes from the thoughts. You know what I mean? A lot of people haven't lived in the inner city, or been over in the desert, guns shooting at them, or had to go through certain situations, they will never, ever even imagine their whole life is different. So they may look at a certain person and say, why? I don't understand why that person, because you don't even know. Your whole, when you came outside your house, you heard the birds sweeping and everybody was good, and you had the group Friday night football game, the whole time. It's certain things are different. That's what I'm saying. So when you have the people on the other side who think they're not, or they think they're untouchable for them, it's just something, Mr. Talk. It's us human beings, man. It's something to talk about, because it's real. You know? It's real, though. Good show. I mean, that's all I got to say. I'm rambling at the mouth. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. And, you know, you're right, though. You're right, you know. But, you know, when it comes to depression, though, I don't care what your emotions are, or you know, what type of, you know, what you're doing, you know, what's your lifestyle. It's simple, man. You know, you have to realize the symptoms first. You know, that's the biggest thing. And once you realize it, then you can deal with it any way you choose. But the first thing is recognizing it, because a lot of people, you know, they just don't realize it. And, yes, some of them bring it on themselves, but that's, you know, to them, that's everyday life. you know, yeah, I got to go up here to this raggedy job, or yeah, I'm going out here and try and win me his money, or I'm going to go up the store and get me a lottery ticket. You know, like when I was depressed, I didn't want to come outside. I didn't want to be bothered. I really didn't. It didn't matter. You know, it really didn't matter. And, you know, I didn't know that was what I was doing. I just thought I was, you know, okay, I was doing it. So what I'm saying is, you know, pay attention to the signs. I know some of us, we have a harder time paying attention to ourselves. So if you are a loved one of someone or a friend and you see this happening, bring it to their attention. Let them know, you know, that, you know, there may possibly be a problem there. And with that, you know, they are, you know, they will be able to realize and hopefully get some help. You know, sometimes just talking to you will help them a lot also. You know, a true friend. Okay, not just, you know, a passerby. Somebody, you know, a true friend. Maybe I'll do a show on that. What is a true friend? I don't know, but I'll think about it. Okay, but, you know, that's what you need. The biggest thing is recognizing and identifying that that is what's going on with you. And it's the same with alcoholism. You have to recognize the problem first. We can talk about all the help, all the symptoms and everything, but in either one of them, if you have not recognized and admitted that that's a problem, then you're going to continue to cycle. Or as the quote said, you're going to continue to get beat up by the storm. And you'll never be able to dance in the rain. Oh, man. This has been a good show, man. And I appreciate everybody that participated in the chat room and Michael and Joe on the line. Because, man, I tell you, that this was something that was dear to me. You know, so anybody out there that's listening, if it helped you, I'm glad. If it's just one person, you know, that's a good thing. But before we get up out of here, we're going to go ahead and let Joe, Joe and Michael get their last words in, and we're going to start with Michael. Mr. Michael.
You know what? I wish we could go into overtime, really. I said that we're talking about a serious subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're talking about that all people go through, human beings, all of these things, and you only got a couple people calling. We ain't talking no theories. We ain't talking about no government. We're talking about what humans go through, what we all go through. It's amazing to me. You should not mute my mic. Now, a lot of people don't want to want to admit. You keep on saying you don't think I listen to you. But you keep on saying that, but some people don't want to admit it. The high sedity ones, the ones who got all the money, don't got no woman, ain't trying to find a woman, got all the answers. They depressed like I don't know what because someone hurted them. That's why they treat the people the way they do. You had people come on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to talk about depression. Say, this stuff is not stressful. These same people actually get stressed over this stuff, and they get depressed over it. One of the fake dead deaths, and they talking about they don't let nothing get through it. That human being said he did not have emotion, and he has emotion. This is a very important show. This is not a crazy show. This is a very serious topic, and like I said before, Mr. Talk, there's a lot of people going through it. They don't want to talk about it. They think they got it going on, but they depress as I don't know what because their attitudes and the way they treat people, and they just don't know it. They're bitter. They can't even apologize to no damn body, but they need to apologize. First of all, they pick and choose who you apologize. How can I pick and choose who I apologize to, but when I did wrong, I did wrong? I can't pick and choose who apology. If I think I did wrong, they don't care who you are. They don't care what you are. These people are psychologically crazy, and their depression affects other people, being fearful for other things. And as I said before, if you're going to go ahead and notice, you're going to have a drug or suffer around people who've been through tragedy in their lives that is affected on other people. A lot of people going through a certain lot of things.
And I think it's disgraceful that you didn't have more callers come in. That is my last words. I wish you'd go into overtime. But that's all I got to say, Mr. Talk. You have a nice day. I'm going to be calling it for
you
a little bit, man. But have a all right.
Well, you know, it's always archived, so, you know, handle it. All right, thank you, Michael. Let's see, we got some new one. I'm going to see who this is again. 111, you on the air?
Yes, how's it going, my brother?
All right, it's going good. How are you doing?
All right. Well,
okay.
Let me introduce my name
uh-huh.
is Lil Lunchmeat. I'm the CEO of Get Low Records.
Okay.
All right, and I would like to promote my artist. Hello?
Your artist?
Yeah, Lil Shot Meat.
Okay. All right. We ain't even going to have that today. All right. Joe, your last word, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad that you, you deleted him because even though he didn't mean any harm, you just don't come into somebody's show and immediately start promoting your shit. So, you know, I guess maybe he's new to BTR. And anyway, with regards to depression, it's a very serious type of disease and illness. It affects millions of people, as we talked about before. And people, I would think, in order to stave it off as much as possible, don't reach for more than you can really grasp. And if you suffer from immense frustration, let it out. That goes for men, and women already do that, but that goes particularly for men. Let it out. If you can't talk to a buddy, then he's not your buddy. So, you know, I actually had an experience like that many years ago. There was a particular situation I was in. I wanted to talk to my best friend about it, and he and I were best friends for 5 years. He and I never even had an argument. I was his best man for his wedding. But I wanted to talk to him about something which I considered to be, you know, important to me. He didn't want to listen to it. He had a psychological aversion towards listening to negative news from other people. You know, I had listened to him over the years about, you know, minor problems. But when I wanted to talk to him, he couldn't handle it. So as a result, we dissolved our friendship.
Wow.
You know, and it was the only time I really wanted to talk to him about something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him because he just didn't have that kind of, I guess, psychological framework or wherewithal to handle listening to somebody, talking to him, you know, the way that I wanted to, very, very deeply. I wanted to talk to him like he was my best friend. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we always had good times, but we couldn't share the bad times. And, you know, so as a result, our friendship dissolved. And that's the same thing I demand from women. Don't be with me because you want the good times. You got to be with me if something that I consider to be troubling is troubling me. I got to talk to you. If you can't handle it, you're not my girlfriend. You're just a fuck receptacle. That's all.
Oh, Lord. All right, Joe.
Those are my last words.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, y'all. You know, we got to put Joe back in, you know, reprogram him about all that cussing. But anyway, welcome. It was a great show, man. I'm glad everybody was here and joining me. Depression, man, I'm telling you, bad news. One works with the other. Trust me, they twins. I call them twins because usually they right there with each other, no matter how you look at it. All right, y'all. Well, it's been fun, but I got to run. All right, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, learn to forgive with an open heart, but first, make sure your heart is open and clear for you forgiving anyone else. And the last and final thing I always say every day, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, then hey, you can laugh at anyone. If you want to send me some comments, send them to ericletstalk@gmail.com or to the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right? So with that, I'm going to bid you adieu, and you have a great day, and I'll see y'all same place, same time tomorrow. Out. Bye-bye.